You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Play in Alberta, everything stays in Alberta. Revenues from Play Alberta stay in the province. Can help get the Hen Day built.
And welcome to the show, Shagrin. I want to just to a text that you put out earlier today around 11 a.m. You said, sounds like talks between Mandrusiak and Elks have been at a dead standstill for some time now. Thought this would be obvious, a one for the organization to remedy. I'm asked by fans about it constantly. Still time, but this one seemed like a no-brainer. And rather quickly, Victor Kui responded, saying, that's 100% false and a misleading post. Ryan, I've had multiple discussions with Dwayne, and we met just recently. Many possibilities. We're trying to find something that works. Your post does not help build the trust. So, you know, obviously, you know, Dwayne Mandrusiak meant a lot to this organization for, you know, half a century. Where do you kind of, you know, for, I guess, first off, Mandrusiak, where do you think, or what would he be, what is he looking for as far as, I don't know if closure is the right word, or some kind of a moment with the team that he was a part of for so long?
Yeah, and it's not half a century, Stuart. It's 49 years. I'll just clarify that.
I'll clarify that one for you.
But, I mean, that's kind of, well, no, don't apologize. It's kind of the whole point, though, isn't it? It's not half a century. That would be really special. It's 49 years. I don't know exactly what Dwayne's looking for. I don't know exactly all the details and everything here. Listen, I stand by what I reported today. Now, you can get into semantics about what is a standstill and what is not. My tweet was not 100% false, and it was not misleading. It's been 5 weeks since there was any correspondence between the two parties. There were some talks happening in the previous months, and when the season approached, it just completely went quiet. So with the ball in their court, the Elks went quiet for 5 weeks, and then the season started, and there's been nothing since. So, I don't know, Struds, if you and I are in the middle of a negotiation and you say you'll get back to me, in a couple weeks, and I haven't heard from you in 5 weeks, would I be reasonable to feel like our negotiation was at a dead standstill? I think my wording was fair. So I stand by my reporting. I understand, Victor, you know, this is a sensitive topic for the organization, and I understand he's going to be defensive of their position. But in no way was my reporting false, and I don't accept that assertion from him. With that said, I mean, listen, all of this aside, like, what matters here is what's real. This organization did a great disservice to Dwayne Mandrusiak by releasing him the way they did after 49 years. We all know that. We all saw the way the fans reacted. I mean, everybody knows how that looks. And so, with this organization's new management and new president in position, they were in a position to try and remedy this. Because I really believe that in this repair that they want to do, and they've been so transparent with fans and wanting to rebuild relationships, and they've done so much good work to try and rebuild that trust. Yet on this particular file, for some reason, this is probably the simplest way for them to repair some of the most significant damage that was done. They haven't been able to figure it out for whatever reason. So I believe this is a no-brainer. I am surprised this isn't done yet. There's been no communication for 5 weeks. The regular season's underway. And so while there was communication previously, it's not hurtling towards a final decision. So I don't know if that summarizes enough for you, Stretty, but I 100% stand behind my reporting today that things are at a standstill and that the last communication was 5 weeks ago. So, and that was before the season was started. And all of a sudden you go through the start of the regular season and there's still nothing. So people can have their own opinion as to whether or not I characterized it fair. But to me, 5 weeks of silence is a standstill.
Now, on this show, you've said that, you know, a one-night moment isn't suitable for this time with Dwayne Mandrusiak. So, what is it? Like, I the damage has been done.
That's a great
question. You have to repair.
Yeah.
So like, is it? And I know Dwayne, and I like Dwayne, and this isn't. I just don't know how you repair this. Like, do you offer him a job? Do you get him on the sidelines? Do you have that moment where he gets clapped at? Like, I don't know what it looks like. Like, the damage has been done. So how, like, what does he feel is the right moment? Because he does need to be recognized 100%.
Yeah. So it's a good question and it's a fair question. So listen, I know him well, right? We've worked in and around one another for two decades. And so I'm going to make a bunch of assumptions here, right? These are not quotes from him. This is not, but let's make a couple of assumptions. Dwayne has almost never done any media in his entire career. He hates doing it. He's not in it for the FaceTime. He's not in it for the recognition. That's not what he's about. I don't think Dwayne Mandruziak really cares much about being put up on the big screen to wave to fans and the number 50 there. And so he finally gets his quote unquote public due. I don't think Dwayne cares about that. I'd be surprised if he cared that much about it. I think Dwayne probably was left with a really bad taste in his mouth with the way things ended with the organization. I think it's his life's work. Dwayne has had some significant health challenges the last few years. We all know that. And he gave a lot to that organization battling through those health issues. 50 years is an incredibly meaningful milestone for a person's life's work. And I, you know, if I were guessing, I would say that Dwayne Mandruziak doesn't want to just be like, you know, propped up, you know, like a mascot to wave to the fans so the organization can throw 50 on the scoreboard and now everything's fixed. My guess is Dwayne would probably want to do something that has some meaning, right? He had 49 extremely meaningful years of work with the organization. You know, going back to, you know, wave to fans and shake a few hands, something tells me that wouldn't be of interest to him based on what I know about Dwayne Mandruziak. So then you say, well, what can he do? I think we all know that being the head equipment manager, that's just, it's not going to be in the cards, and being around the team every single day like he was before. I mean, those are probably not realistic expectations, but should there be a place for him to be at the rink or to be at the stadium on game nights? Of course there should be this year, to shake some hands and meet some sponsors and go hang out with some kids and give a tour of the TSN truck and to meet sponsors and to have charitable endeavors, you know, Parkinson's, other meaningful ones. He's done a lot. I can't remember now. I feel bad, but he's had charities that have been close to his heart, over the years. So why not tie a charitable endeavor to it? Have him in the stadium, meeting fans, shaking hands, an ambassador. And then that's nine nights. And at the end of the season, he can feel good about a meaningful 50th year completed and not just being paraded out there for one night so the organization can be good now. I think if I know Dwayne Mandruziak at all, he's not looking for that moment that we all and the fans all want to see. He'd actually probably like it to have some meaning. And I can't imagine a scenario where that couldn't be worked out between two parties who see the value in it.
Makes sense. Makes a ton of sense. Joined by Ryan Rashad, talking all things Elks and CFL related. And I'm going to shift over to the NHL, where he finds himself down in Denver. A beautiful day by all reports. He got some sun tanning in today, which is difficult with his more pasty type of skin. But that's, you know, we all have challenges.
I am pasty. I tried on a lighter suit today, and I looked at the mirror. I was like, holy smokes, I can't wear light colors. I just disappear. Yeah. I'm as pasty as it gets.
The lucky is standing beside Darren Dreger, so you look like an all-star. When you sit down and you know, now there was a couple days between the games, looking ahead to game two tomorrow, which both teams should feel pretty good about. Was there anything you saw in practice that maybe one team was working on the other, or a player like Point and or Kadri that was kind of, you know, maybe ramping up or feeling, you know, better about themselves?
Yeah, great question. Cogliano ramped it up. Skated, took full practice with the team and did everything they were doing. So don't know if he's going to play, but it looks more promising than it did yesterday. Kadri did not skate with the main group, skated with a stick again today. Don't believe he took any shots. Braden Point skated as a center at practice today with Colton and Paul. So I wonder if they're going to look at shifting him back to the middle. There's that. Tampa came out, the first thing they did was some real rudimentary puck moving on their power play. No defenders, just sitting there passing the puck around in the power play, shifting some guys around. Both ends of the ice going at the same time with no defenders. I think it's just reinforcing some you know, puck tracking and which direction they want it to go and stuff. So they focused on that. They focused on trying to get really quick, little clean. Like, they ran this drill where they were trying to break pucks out, and they had the defenseman pinching down the wall like a madman. And they were looking for outlets through the middle. They were trying different ways to find outlets through the middle. So we know that the Avalanche like to pressure a bunch. They probably feel like they can do a better job of meeting that pressure. There was one shift in that last game where Victor Hedman threw the puck away twice under pressure. They're not that team. So And then the Avalanche, Cale Makar got hit by a drone during a commercial shoot, which was kind of funny. And our cameras are so good, they got it on camera, which was funny. Nathan MacKinnon scored an unbelievable goal. So he practices like he plays. And, yeah, it was a high-energy practice after both teams were off yesterday. So lots to read into today. I thought it was a good day. I was glad we were down there just to sort of see how each team was approaching this one meaningful practice between games.
So why are they taping a commercial in the Stanley Cup Final? Like, it's got to be done for next year?
No, this is all for... You know, this is the rights holders have these television deals, and the players allot a certain amount of time to this. This is just when you get to the biggest show that the game has, there are requirements for rights holders. And so it's like 20 minutes before the start of practice, he's out there in his stuff, skating around, and there's a drone following him around, and it's for some, you know, awesome shots. Maybe it's for their opening. Maybe it's for, I don't know what it's for, but the drone smacked him in the arm. Can you imagine if it had hit him in the eye?
Oh, jeez,
yeah. Imagine, you know. Just his sake. The last thing that they need is a drone running into the side of Makar's head. But, no, it got him in the elbow, and it was fine.
Joined by Ryan Richard, talking all things NHL. And I want to shift it back. We've had some good dialogue today, kind of not intentionally, but about Brett Kulak and his value on the market, like his number. Now, I've heard numbers, you know, when he first arrived here, thrown up by different media groups, maybe four times 2.5 million. But
yeah, it was in the twos before, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah, and I'm guessing that his value didn't go down with the way he played for Edmonton. So, you know, if you could, I mean, it's always difficult. I'm putting you a bit on the spot, but maybe a ballpark figure of what it looks like on a Kulak deal based on what you've seen in other deals, you know, in the past, and then even comparing him to Cody Ceci and what he did here in the playoffs and the regular season for the Oilers, which was, I think, as impressive as Kane was, I think, I think he did just a good a job for himself as well, Kulak.
Yeah, just in terms of, like, meeting your own potential. You know, you're acquired by a team. They want you to be an important part. Do everything in your power to contribute the most you can. I would agree with you that Kulak, within his own game, did a tremendous job giving everything he had, playing within his game, and contributing in a hugely meaningful way. And, in fact, I'll say it again, I think he should have been contributing more meaningfully on the top pairing in that final series. As a healthy skater against the other team's big guns. I think there's lots of value there. I think he's a local guy, and so you always wonder if maybe playing close to home, you know, at this stage in his career might be meaningful for him. You know, he's made a decent living. I see his career earnings around $9 million. But at the same time, this is a great opportunity for him to cash in, and you guys play a long time to earn this right as unrestricted free agent. So all of that said, this is definitely not, 2.5, 2.75 million. This is over $3 million, this contract. My guess is somewhere between three and three and a half, depending on the number of years. At 28 years of age, my guess is Kulak's camp will be able to squeeze the fourth year out of the Oilers on a deal. That'd be my guess based on the history with the Oilers that we've seen. So, you know, four times three and a quarter, 3.4. I don't know if it gets to 3.5 or not, but now you're right in around that CC range, right? So I would say that's probably the range. And I don't know, maybe I'm a bit low. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I was comparing him to CC, right? Now I think he skates better than CC. This isn't an indictment on CC. Like, that's not what I'm doing. But you've got to try to find some comparables, right? I'm sure they'll probably want to go a little higher, and they might go a little lower. But he fits well here. The problem is that, you know, let's say they can find some cap space for this deal. You need to leave some upward movement. So if you have, you know, and if Barry's been traded, you have Kulak, you've got Bouchard, you've got CeCe and Nurse, there's Keith. And so if he leaves, you know, if his contract is done and he decides he doesn't want to play anymore the next year, then Broberg goes in there. But there's not a lot of flexibility anywhere you know, like that, like Nurse Assigned Forever, CC, and all these guys. So I like Kulak, but you need a little bit of room, wiggle room. Do you not on the back end, or if this is it? Because if you say Kulak, this might be it, and then Broberg is the next guy in line for the following summer.
What a great problem to have. Good teams have these problems. You know, Bowen Byram was a third pairing slash not even in the lineup necessarily at all situations, you know, in his early days. And, you know, here he is now. He's developed into a second pairing guy, seizes an opportunity with Gerard Hurt. What a great problem to have. If you want to compete for a Stanley Cup, you're going to have your best prospects waiting for their turn. That's sometimes the way it works. When your team is ready to go, you don't have two defensemen under the age of 20, whatever it'll be, three in the lineup. You have veteran players that know how to play in situations. Brett Kulak is a veteran, been to a Stanley Cup final, been to a conference final, skates as well as any defenseman they have on their team, maybe with the exception of a healthy Nurse. This is a good NHL player that you want in your lineup when you're trying to win a Stanley Cup and push past the conference final. So any concern about where Broberg might fit down the road, hey, if Broberg's pushing Kulak or Keith for minutes on an entry-level deal, that's a fantastic problem to have, but you need proven NHL players to go anywhere, and this guy is one.
Yeah, and he's, you know, two Stanley Cup runs he's made in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
A local guy, and I think the local part, like I'm not paying for it, but it is nice, right, to have a local player here. He's comfortable. He knows it. He knows what it's all about. But I'm not sure that's really something you can use. Hey, man, you get to come play at home. Like, he can play in 32 different cities, right?
Of course he can. And you know, and he was in Calgary before. And I'm not saying that it's like this huge selling point, but I think if it's like, look, man, like, how hard are we going to grind here, right? If they want to grind for every single dollar, then maybe the answer doesn't end up being here. But if it's like, what a great situation. You get to be at home. You'll probably get to compete for a Stanley Cup sometime in the next 3 or 4 years. We're willing to give you fair value. If you want to go try and catch that crazy free agent deal, then by all means have at her, but that probably won't be here with the Edmonton Oilers. I think that's just a good stance to take. You put a fair contract on the table where you're not giving him some crazy haircut. You respect what he's done. But you let them know, look, if you want to go look for the overpay in a different situation, then, you know, then maybe I have to let them go do that because you might have Broberg coming. You're comfortable doing that, or, you know, we'll see. They'll know, they'll have an idea what's happening with Keith by then too, right?
So. And one last one. Can you have both Barry and Kulak in your third pairing adding up to $8 million?
No, because you won't be good enough in other areas of your team.
Yeah.
Right, you gotta free up some money somewhere so that you can figure out how to come back with a forward group that's as good or close to as good. No. You need to be able to spread that around a little bit. So, you know, I really like Tyson Barrie. I was a proponent of him coming to the team. I was a proponent of them signing him. I thought he had a great year last year. I thought he did a good job this year. I thought he was usable in the playoffs. But we've witnessed the upward movement of Evan Bouchard. And so if Tyson Barrie, who has value out there, is the player that needs to shift because Bouchard is at upward development, then that's money you can spend elsewhere. I don't think it would make sense to have those two type of players on the same blue line.
Sagar, I appreciate it. We'll check in with you on Monday. Enjoy the loud noise there at Denver Arena tomorrow night.
Sounds good, Tal. Thanks.